Hey everybody, it's Josh Rutledge, your co-host for Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to support us more, please head over to our website, fearscapepodcast.com. There you can click on store and browse some really awesome t-shirts and maybe pick a couple up, or even go to our Patreon page and see how you can support us monthly. We love bringing you awesome content just as much as you like listening to it. Enjoy the show.
Hello. I'm so glad you could join us. I hope you brought your blanket to hide under. The spooky crew is going to discuss things and events from other realms. Ghosts. Cryptids. Aliens. Be sure to hold your blanket extra tight as the boys take you deep into the Fearscape.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another fantastically frightening episode of Fearscape Paranormal Podcast here with the Spooky Crew. That's right, I am your host, Stefan Gearhart, joined as always by my perfectly virtual buddy and co-host, Mr. Yeshua Rutledge.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Am I allowed to speak now? I never know now when I can talk without you yelling at me.
Well, you should always ask me. That's okay. Smart. I know your dad taught you not to speak until spoken to, so. Because I know your dad taught me that. Because he scared me.
He scared me too.
But anyways, Josh, we're glad to have you. We are still in quarantine.
Yep. Still joining from each other's distant places, houses.
Yeah. Houses of worship here. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We've got another fun, getting spooky episode, but this time we're busting out a blast from the past here, from our past here. The mysterious Jay is going to be on with us today, getting spooky with Jay here.
From Men in Black, right? That's what it is. It's just Jay.
Yeah, the single letter Jay. trying to keep things on the hush hush so he can share some badass stories
on the down low.
But how's it going, Jay? Thanks for joining us, man.
Pretty good, thanks for having me, guys.
Yep, so you are now mysterious and
cloaked in a cloud of fog,
like Darth Sidious over here.
Darth J.
So, man, so Star Warsian. But we're going to be talking to you. We're going to be sharing some stories that you've had throughout your life, the spooky stories and places you've lived, places you've worked, all kinds of crazy stuff. So we're going to be hitting those up. But we want to ask you if you want to join us. We're going to be hitting up some other things as we normally do. You are welcome to join us and talk about the news that we discuss and all sorts of stuff like that. So feel free to join in with us.
Absolutely, my pleasure, guys.
But Josh, you ready to rock and roll and get into some spooky news, or do you want to do the word first?
Rock and roller coaster. Word first.
All right. So then let's get into the encyclopedic psychic dictionary word of the week. So the word/phrase of the week is actually a three-word phrase called unconscious death urge. Sounds good, right? Sounds groovy. So essentially what it means, and it's funny because it says rebirthers, but it says theory. An individual could live in a physical body on Earth forever. However, buried deep within each individual's subconscious mind is the concept that death is inevitable, put there by mass thinking over the years, and which causes one to die.
So that's really interesting. It's just like we have been preconditioned to accept that we have an expiration date. Mm-hmm. And so our body doesn't actually age.
We cause it to age because Correct. We expect it to age.
Due to our subconscious telling us that we need to age and that we need to die, which may also explain why now in the modern age we live longer, because most of us want to just keep living, whereas back in the day they were like, I can't wait to go to heaven and see Papa Dean and Uncle Frankie and Aunt Susan. Like, now we're like, I don't know what's up there.
I think there are probably a handful of people who still think, I can't wait to go to heaven and all that kind of stuff.
See, Papa Dean, not Susan.
Well, you know, some people are probably still waiting to get to heaven, though, or whatever.
Probably. Because,
you know, there's like either a handful of virgins waiting for them, or like they get to sing right. praise songs to God all day. Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I guess I've never understood that about heaven. I mean, the 30, 80 virgins or whatever, I'm down with that. I can get that. I can get the harem part. But the, I get to spend eternity just singing praise to God? I'm like, can I at least get a couple Zelda games? Like,
did you know, guys, it seems like the older you get as you age, the more comes to a certain point in your life to where, and I know this from experience from my grandparents, seems like they were ready to go. Whereas when you're younger and you think you're invincible. So, I mean, I'd have to argue that aging is biological, and I think that death is inevitable. I'm probably playing right into what Josh said, you know, being preconditioned, but, you know, I think it's a state of mind.
Well, yeah, I mean, who knows?
I've seen some 85-year-old men, my dad, one of them, you know, he's still out there mowing grass and tilling a garden. So,
yeah.
Well, you've always said, you know, you're only as old as you feel.
That's right. So
even though your body might be aging, doesn't mean that your mind or your soul, your spirit, whatever, has to age along with it.
Right. And you see a lot of people, I mean, can use mind over matter to heal themselves, to do all sorts of things. Why not live forever?
Right. I don't know about living forever. I'm just being skeptical here. You know me. I keep an open mind. Mm-hmm. So I try to kind of question everything. So, and that's, we can tap into that a little farther.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that anybody would want to live forever. I feel like you end up like being tired. You're eventually just like, I just kind of want to go sleep forever.
Well, and
it's a concept, though, that it's a strange concept, but, the fact of the matter is no one has ever been observed that we know of that's ever lived forever.
Right.
So,
right. Well, even Dracula got
stake. We can quantify death. We can say, yeah, he's dead. So.
He's dead, Jim. So, but you know, it's just kind of like, if you live forever, then what value would you place on life?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
And you always see that in all the sci-fi movies and stuff. Those that live forever and the others don't, they end up becoming just selfish because they're sick of seeing people right. die.
Yeah.
I mean,
Dorian Gray.
I think a finite existence is what defines us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's why even heaven doesn't sound great. I'm like, and then it's forever and all you're doing is singing all day? Like, can I get a lozenge? Like... But whatever, let's move on from that. Let's jump into spooky news. All right, I actually have some spooky news this week, Josh.
Wow, cool.
This comes from Derbyshire Live. So this is derbytelegraph.co.uk, so another Brit. The headline reads, Haunting Voices of Ghosts of Children Recorded by Paranormal Team. This here says, ghostly voices of young children, which brought a chill to the heart, were some of the things paranormal investigators say that they found when they carried out an investigation near Swadlincote in England. The team from Haunted Live produced a Facebook video, which I haven't seen yet. I haven't been able to track it down yet. It says, we was recorded live at Moira Furness Museum near Swadlincote, which they say shows the venue is haunted. They take part in paranormal investigations and ghost hunts across the UK, and they are made up of 5 ghost hunters. They were speaking about their experiences when they carried out their probe at the furnace building, which Ty said would stay with them for a long time to come. During their night at the furnace, they claim they heard spooky whistles, girls' voices, and even while one of the team says that they even witnessed a ghostly shadow. The furnace is well known for accounts of previous accounts of paranormal activity. It was built in 1804 by the Earl of Moira to take advantage of the local area's coal and iron. Many ghost hunts have been held there, and many report hearing what they believe to be voices, as well as sightings of shadowy figures spotted in the building's workshops. Spirits are also said to have been seen by visitors wandering through the nearby woodland. And Paul Stevenson, one of the guys from Haunted Live, said, "We chose Moira because it is one of those hidden little gems on our doorstep that needs people to be made aware of day or night. And there's so much history and mystery all over the UK and in regards to the paranormal that we are really just scratching the surface." And then they just go in again to talk about the things that they heard, the children's voices, the whispers, the girls' voices, and the sort. So if I can find that video, I'll try to do another search. I'll try to post it. But yeah, spooky.
Yeah, I mean, it's, some of those were like EVPs are really quite interesting. It's like we've talked about before, you know, it's almost though one of those things where now if you've heard or read the article and you find the recording, are you expecting to hear those things? And so will your mind tell you that you've heard them?
Right, right. Now you're listening for it, right?
Right. So.
Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? If it's on the recording, it's on the recording. I mean.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't, really.
So.
Well, and I'd also like to add that that article had the best collection of UK-sounding things in the world. Moira.
Yeah.
Swaddling Coat. What kind of a name of a town is Swaddling Coat?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to live in Swaddling Coat. I don't know. Isn't like swaddling nursing a baby? Isn't that what
swaddling is? No, it's you wrap up, you like to take a blanket and you wrap the baby really, really tight with the blanket so that like they stay warm. It's called swaddling.
And so they shut up.
Well, they do. They go to sleep, actually. Yeah, so.
Can I do that to you?
Stefan, there's not a blanket big enough.
Yeah, swaddling is an age-old practice of wrapping babies in blankets so that the movement of the limbs is tightly restricted. Yeah, and this fell out of favor in the 17th century until the hipsters brought it back.
Wow, look at that information
for the masses. I'm going to duct tape my baby up.
Maybe we could change our genre for our podcast to informational.
Informational, yeah. That would be good. It would be the first time. All right, let's get out of spooky news, and let's get into our UFO sighting of the week. All right, Josh, what do we got this week in terms of UFO sighting?
So this is actually a older sighting. This is about a year and a half ago, but I pulled it up because it was in Russellville, Kentucky.
Oh, I got some friends from there.
This is, you know, where we're kind of local for us. And so I just thought it was really interesting. So we're in return. So
to be clear, this is not the moon. It was around 11 p.m. In the first pic, I saw this orb of light darting around above a low, thin cloud. I thought maybe it was a helicopter spotlight. Although there was no sound, it disappeared, then reappeared 3 times, making sudden 90-degree and 180-degree turns above or in the cloud. Then suddenly, it was gone. In a few seconds, it appeared, as in the second pic, which I'll link out the pictures, stationary below the cloud for about 3 seconds. Then it was gone. It wasn't like any light I've ever seen before. No spreading of light rays or well-defined round edges, as if I was looking at a distant window. I live in the country and there was absolutely no sound, It appeared to be about 20% the size of a full moon. Anyone have any thoughts on what I saw?
Interesting. So we're looking at essentially in terms of ideas, probably like a nickel compared to a quarter. If you terms of like compared to, or a dime compared to a quarter.
Probably a dime compared to a quarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did it say, the color of the light?
It just said white.
White, that's it?
Yeah. Which, I mean, Stefan and I have seen some stuff that's would appear white. Although our the stuff we've seen is like changes colors too. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. You know, I'm always very interested in the ones that change directions quickly, go up, down, left, right. They move all over the axis. Those are the ones that really are interesting because we don't really have anything that does that. Even drones are difficult to do.
Well, and what's really when I was thinking about the other night when I was out looking at the stars is when most people look at the night sky, they in their mind they're thinking they're seeing things two-dimensionally.
Right.
But really, they're seeing things three-dimensionally.
Yeah.
So when you see something that flies up from the horizon and then flies at you, you're not really seeing it fly up from the horizon. You're seeing it move across the sky,
right,
coming from the horizon area. So it's still staying at whatever height it's at and then flying across the sky. Just your perspective of what you're seeing has changed.
Sure. Sure.
And depending on how high it is, the curvature of the Earth has a lot to do with that.
It's the Earth is flat, Jay.
Oh, it is.
No, I'm just joking.
It's more like a turtle shell, I think. It's, yeah, you know.
It's a flat bowl on top of a turtle.
Yeah.
No, but yeah. But I mean, as big as that was, I mean, if he's saying it's 20% of the moon, I mean, that's definitely
Big
in our orbit, or at least within our atmosphere, I would assume.
Absolutely. Yeah. He said it was below the clouds, so that is well within our atmosphere.
Below the cloud and then back up through the cloud and everything else. So yeah, that's really interesting.
Interesting sighting.
Keith would say it was an owl.
It's definitely not an orb.
It's not an orb. Thank you for sharing that with us, Josh. I don't have any creepy catch up this week. Do you have anything?
I don't have anything. It's been, I mean, I guess last time we talked, I saw something in the window, but I'm not really sure what I saw. So I'm not really going to equate it to creepy catch up.
Yeah. It's been pretty quiet week. Which I guess is good. Needed it. So, but then let's go ahead and move right into our topic then. Getting spooky with the mysterious J. All right.
How y'all doing?
Josh, I'm going to let you take the reins, my friend.
Yeah, so Jay, we've known each other for a little while, I think.
A little while, you know, yeah.
Like maybe like a third of my life. But so you've shared with me some stories from various times, like houses you used to live in, when you worked in the old jail in Louisville. I guess if we had to jump back in time, what's kind of the earliest spooky thing you've ever witnessed or had happen to you that you can recall?
Well, do you want to start with the house story or do you want to start with the jail stories?
I think the jail stories probably predate the house stories a little bit. So if you want to start with those, then that's fine.
Yeah, and I even know we mentioned one time talking about your guys' Waverly experience too.
We could start there, yeah. We could.
Yeah, just kind of like what was your first like experience that you ever remember having
paranormal? Well, right now I'm still a current. I'm a corrections officer. I've got 15 years of experience, so I'm still working down there. So, and these stories were something that I've had one thing happen to me down there, and the rest of them were told to me. But to back up a little bit, when me and Josh were a lot younger, How old were we? Maybe what? 20, 22?
Yeah. 20, 21, somewhere right in there. Yeah.
Well, see, I've always been the skeptic type. You know, I've always been the skeptic type. And as things have happened to me over the years, I've kind of softened up on that. I started keeping an open mind because I have the, you can't prove some of these things. It's true that some of these things that happen, you can't prove them. You can't say, okay, here it is. This is a definite ghost or this is a definite UFO. But on the same scale, you can't disprove it either.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So if that's the case, then there has to be something to it. What that is, I have no idea.
Yeah,
but to start back.
No, as I say, we've talked about it before on the show, is you can't prove a negative. So
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, anything can be disproven if that's the case. You know what I mean? It's
exactly.
Like, not everybody's hallucinating every single time, you know. But yes, is it possible? Yes.
When it comes to paranormal things, you know, there's some things that I lean harder on. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I need a little bit more evidence for that. And there's other things that are like, yeah, there's something to it. And ghosts are one of them, just because I have seen them with my own two eyes. We started when we were younger, back to what me and Josh were talking about. We decided to take a tour at Waverly, and me being young and Mr. Macho and all that, I decided I wanted to be the first person in line or the last person. So we ended up being the last person in line. And of course we go through the tour, and the lady's giving us the tour, and she says, you know, the stories, and they stop us in the hallway and shine flashlights, and people are saying they see things. And of course I'm like, I don't see nothing. So she's like, oh, tells this story about how this guy wandered in this room, and he saw a ghost of a child, and then it turned around and didn't have any eyes. And she wanted to know who wanted to go in there. And I said, oh, I'll go. And I went right in there, and of course didn't see anything. You know, I'm totally going through this tour with like an attitude of this is all bullshit. So
Right. Anyway,
we go, now remember, we're last in line. So we go all the way to the top, and we get to that infamous room 502, where apparently that nurse killed herself, jumped out the window or whatnot. I'm like, yeah, well, this was a bust, but it was fun. So we're all, at the time, there was one stairwell that everyone egressed out of, and they went down this stairwell. I'm the very last person in line, and I kid you not, as sure as I'm sitting here, something grabbed the back of my collar on my coat and tugged on it. And I spun around expecting to see somebody there, and there was nobody there. It was a large room, you know, a huge room, and I couldn't have snagged it on anything. It wasn't me being spooked out, because I went in there expecting not to see anything. So, I went, got back down to the car and told Josh, I said, I think I got grabbed in there. Josh was like, shut up, man. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure that something happened. So, because at first I just didn't believe it. My mind was trying to process. When things happen to you, your mind tries to process the information, and it's just, you come to the conclusion of, I can't explain that. So.
Yeah. You know, we talked about it before, I think, on here, where, you know, there's like two minds of most people. There's your higher mind function, which is the constant need to quantify and rationalize what you're seeing. And then there's your Cro-Magnon man, if you will, your lizard brain or whatever, that just kind of knows instinctually that things go bump in the night. And so I think a lot of times your Cro-Magnon man mind and your Homo sapien mind have like an argument back and forth. And finally you get to like an impasse, like, well, I can't explain it away, but I also can't explain, you know, why it was. So it's just – you know, you're just going to kind of like throw your hands up like, well, I guess, okay, maybe it happened. So.
Right. Totally agree with that. 100%.
It's spooky. So. Regardless.
Yeah. I mean,
I run. That's when my high pitched scream comes in and I'm like, ah! I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm
that was gone. That was really, you know, that was really my first experience with anything paranormal. I've seen lights in the sky and stuff like that, and you know, it never really creeped me out. I'm a guy that doesn't really scare very easily, and so I brushed it off. And later on down the road, so y'all want me to go into the jail stories, or
yeah, man,
yeah,
bring everything. All right, got.
So I started my career in 2005, and we go through a training academy and all that stuff, a boot camp, and you get down there, and very quickly when you get down there, from some of the more seasoned guys, that there's things that happen sometimes,
yeah,
and that have happened or may happen, and it, especially when you work night shift. So I was working night shift at the time, and because we have to, by law, we have to allow the inmates a certain amount of time to sleep, even though half of them don't. They stay up and play cards and beat and bang, and anyways. But there is a new jail, and then there is an old jail. The old jail is where the courthouse and everything like that is. There's two floors to that. There's fifth floor and there's sixth floor. And five and six seem to be where most of the stuff happens, and you have to remember it's a jail, and that's a very old jail. It was built in the 70s, that jail was, and there's been quite a few deaths in there where people have hung themselves, unfortunately, yeah, you know, through the years, and so it's a place where, you know, there's a lot of suffering, you know, and people have a lot of problems and issues. But I was working night shift at the time, and this is my personal experience. This happened to me. Then I'll go into what other people had told me. Right. The lights are off, but they're not totally off. There are night lights on our. This was way back in the day, so we had an old lighting system. So the main lights would shut off, and then inside these self-contained lights, there's a smaller bulb that's a night light, and that was supposed to come on, but sometimes they would get blown out and they wouldn't get replaced, and so sometimes it'd be pitch black, completely dark, and you would have to walk this specific walk with a flashlight. So you have to do rounds every 30 minutes and hit a sheet. And basically it says, you know, to say that, you know, hey, I'm doing my job and I'm making sure nobody's in here, you know, tunneling through a wall. So I'm making my rounds, and at the end of this long corridor, there's a, what we call a day room, and the day room door was shut, and there's a very large food slot is what we call it. And so in order to sign this sheet, I have to turn my back to this food slot, and this food slot is, from the sheet to the slot is probably 10 feet. So while I'm signing the sheet and it's dead quiet back there, I hear out of the food slot somebody say, hey, just plain as day, just like, hey.
Hey.
Is exactly. Was there anybody, yeah. was there anybody in, yeah, there?
Hi, buddy.
So what I did, you know, I spun around and put my flashlight in there, and then I keyed the door and I went in the day room, fully expecting to find somebody in there, and there was nobody in there.
Well, yeah, I mean, so it's like double fear, because you've got, like, as a corrections officer, you're already on edge just in case something physical, yeah, happens, right? So it's, right, like,
yeah, well, yeah. So I keyed the door expecting to have to fight somebody or restrain somebody because somebody's out of their cell. So, but there was nobody in there. None whatsoever. Not a person. I did another round and everybody was in their cells. Everybody was sleeping. They were single cells.
So. Yeah. Still though, that's, man.
So there is another story of, this one is an older story that's been kicked around. And this happened probably before I got there, probably back in the 90s, 2000 to 2001, I'd say. But there was an officer that was working night shift at the time, and he was back on that same walk, and he was in a chair, and night shift, all the lights are off, and he ended up dozing off. And back in the day, you get away with those type of things.
Right.
But and he said he was poked awake by another officer. He said, and this officer was dressed in an older corrections uniform, and he said that he looked up at the guy, and he said the guy just completely just disappeared. He said he got up out of his chair and he went back and sat in the control room and didn't go back on the walk.
Yep.
Wow. If
that's true or not, but that's the story.
Yeah. So,
and he said, well, we have a wall downstairs of people who have died in the line of service. And he said, that was the guy. That was the guy. So we pointed to the guy in the picture. So I'm not going to give his name or anything like that.
Well, of course not. But yeah, that's crazy, man. I didn't even think about being a prisoner too, man. If you're getting haunted in your cell, you're just screwed. You can't.
Oh, man. Really? Yeah.
There's many a times that we play pranks on rookies. We'll go down to laundry and we'll put them in an orange jumpsuit and send them back there and run around and scare them. So, yeah, but that's a true story. That, you know, that's what was passed down to me. I have another guy. He's a good friend of mine. He swears up and down. He was doing his account back in the same walk, and basically you go through at the beginning of shift, you do a count at the beginning and at the end of shift, and he's going through and he's counting the single cells, one man per cell. You know, he's going through 1, 2, 3, 4 on this walk. There's probably no more than 35 to 40 cells that are probably occupied at any time. So some of them are empty sometimes. So he went through and his count was 1 over. and so he went through and counted again, and he realized that he counted a shadow. He said, I saw a shadow in one of those cells. And basically what there's, I don't know if you've, there's two concrete, well, there's a concrete stool and a table, and then there's bars, and then these bars overlook the city. So at night, especially when you have a full moon, it will cast what the, a lot of times what people will do, they will stand up on the concrete seat or the table, they hold onto the bars and look out the window. So while you're counting and they're up, you can see their silhouette. Well, he counted a silhouette that was doing that, and he went back and he found the cell and he rolled the cell, and that cell was empty. So he essentially counted a shadow.
A ghost looking out the window.
That's exactly what he said. He said there was somebody in there. They were looking out the window. I seen their head and their shoulders looking out the window. They were standing up on the concrete stool. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't know what those. We've had guys where on this same walk, there's a gym that's attached to it, and it's very basically where guys from will get wrecked their wreck time, and a lot of times the basketballs won't get put up, and they'll just be sitting in the gymnasium, and a lot of times you'll hear. Guys will be sitting back there, and it seems like the only thing ever happens on night shift. First shift and second shift's way too busy really for anything to happen because there's traffic in and out of there all the time. But they swore they heard the ball rolling and hitting the wall and bouncing. So, and there's only one way you can get in there and one way out. So you would hear somebody key the door to that walk. I mean, it's loud. You would hear it. You would know. A lot of spooky stuff. I've had an inmate back there tell me one time. It was unsolicited. I didn't ask him. He came up to me and he said there's this shadow that comes in my cell every night and sits and watches me. And whoa. I just dismissed it.
Nope.
I just
oh my goodness.
It Yeah, I just dismissed it because I don't know how to, you know, I mean, what I call classification and say, hey, this guy's seeing ghosts, he needs to move.
Yeah.
So, you know, I that happened, and
That's one of my stories in New Mexico. I went to my ex's family's house, and it's out in the middle of on a Navajo reservation, and so it's like in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's no lights anywhere. I mean, even with the window open, pitch black dark in there. And so of course we're at her parents' house, so I had to sleep in a different bed. And so I'm in this bed and I hear somebody walking down the hallway and then sit on the edge of the bed. Like I felt the impression sit down.
Did you really?
And something kind of put their hand on my leg, and I was like, hey, what's up? Yeah. You know, I thought it was my girlfriend at the time, and nothing. There was no voices or whatever. I was like, okay, well, I guess you just, you know, I'm just gonna go back to sleep. And then the next morning, I'm at breakfast and I'm like, hey, why did you come into the room last night? And everybody starts laughing, like all her siblings and her mom. And they were like, so you met the Native American chief. And they all know the story of this Native American chief that walks in your hallway at night, and he'll sit on the bed. And I was just like, everything I had said, they were like, he sit on the bed? And I was like, yes. It was crazy, man.
So now you got to wonder if they put you in that room on purpose.
Oh, I guarantee it. Her mom is crazy like that.
So, Jay, going back, I can't remember, trying to think of when this was, but I'm thinking about the crazy, stupid investigation at my grandparents' farmhouse. You remember doing that?
Yes, I do, yeah.
And most of it was just a bunch of junk, and I will never – endorse those paranormal guys ever, but I remember you took a picture. You remember in the barn? Do you remember this at all?
I can't say I do, Josh. It's been so long. Right.
Yeah.
What? Refresh my memory.
You took a picture in the barn, in the tobacco barn, and in the picture you could see like this kind of spirit old man standing there in a tobacco barn. I don't have the picture anymore because it was in like an email address from like three email addresses ago.
Yeah, man, I wish I could. I don't have that picture. Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, it's my memory. You know, I remember everything. So,
yeah, you do.
So I mean, I can still see it here.
No, but, I don't recall that. But if you said I did, then I know that it happened. So
yeah, I remember you sent it to me. I was working at the place. It's got to be around 2007, sometime around in there, or maybe early 2008.
Oh man, I can't remember that far back, man.
I can't remember yesterday, man.
I only remember crazy stuff that happened that far back.
I remember 2008. I was opining, and
I remember rolling my ankle. I remember doing that.
I definitely remember that.
So,
it's good times, man. Good times.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Rolling my ankle wasn't a good time.
Pretty funny to me at the time.
Just, you know, don't try to run in sandals when it's been raining and then dodge a Nerf football at the same time.
Don't try to step off the back of a moving truck.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Anyways, we should just do an episode where we just get together and tell all the old stories from back in the day. I'm sure people would have a good laugh.
Yeah. Wait till about 5 years when I retire.
Right.
So I'm not.
I'm 2 weeks away from retirement.
Jay's going to be like, I'm getting too old for this shit.
I already am, bro. I already am. Totally. I already am.
So, so kind of, I don't know if you've got any more from the jail or if you want to jump maybe to some of the houses you used to live in or.
Yeah, no, that pretty much is the experience there at the jail. There's stories about it, and you can pretty much ask anybody that works down there, and they pretty much have either heard a story or something happened, and that really goes for really to anybody that I think that's in any type of law enforcement capacity, mm-hmm. you're hard to find anybody that has not had something weird happen to them, especially the night shift guys. That includes corrections officers or police officers, because they're the guys that are out there. They're wide awake, you know, walking around, driving around while everybody else is asleep. And there's a lot of things that I think a lot of us see or experience that we just don't talk about. And I kind of think it's important that we do, because I think it's a credit to whatever is going on. Just like those two Air Force pilots that came out and yeah. said, you know, hey, this is what we recorded. You know, we've got so many hours of flight time, we've never seen anything like this.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking about that too, that we are finally, you know, maybe it's our generation that's a lot more open to stuff, but yeah. we are moving away from that idea that you shouldn't talk about these things. And I'm not even just talking about paranormal stuff. I'm talking about abuse.
Yeah.
Any of that stuff. Like, it was just taboo. Like, you didn't tell people that you were getting your ass whooped, right? You know, like, but everything is kind of changed. Like, it is becoming right. more of a less of a taboo to talk about all of these things.
Right. When you're in uniform services, you have there's this culture where you right. have to fit in, you know, you have to fit this certain criteria. If you don't, then you may be ostracized or called weird, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's
quite a bit of hazing that goes on.
There can be. Yeah, there is. And it's not physical hazing. It's very
mental.
It can be hostile sometimes. So, but that's what I mean by the culture of it.
Yeah.
So, and I think the more that people with these experiences that are in uniform services of any type, whether it be military or law enforcement, I think they should come out and really share these experiences. Because, man, I make a pretty good witness. And,
yeah.
You know.
But, yeah.
Well, and that's the point. You're always talking – you always hear, like, John Keel and all those guys talk about credible witnesses. And a lot of the documentaries I've been watching is there's that lack of credible witnesses. And if more folks in uniform came out, you know, that's right. what's a movement that's happening now, where these credible witnesses are starting right. to come out.
There's
the redneck in the barn.
There's something there, you know. I can't explain it. I've had it – you know, I've – had experiences, and there's something to it, you know. And I don't what it is, I have no idea. I'm not a scientist, I'm not a paranormal investigator, I don't know, but there's something to it. So I think the more that we discuss this, the more we talk about it, you know, the better off we'll be.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've been reading another of John Keel's books, The Eighth Tower, and one of the things he talks about was, like, even in the past, if you look at things like the wave of, like, fairy sightings in England mm-hmm. and how they are so very, very similar to the big UFO wave of the 60s and 70s, they put their own spin on it with their own folklore, right?
Right.
It's a lot of the same thing. Right. So what in 50, 100 years from now is the UFO sightings going to look like to them? You know,
right.
it's going to be called something else, you know, by then.
Right.
You know, who knows?
Right. Well, and I, you know, something that I've talked about, you know, step four is the idea that ghosts or entities or cryptids or whatever the case, you know, we're talking about is how they tend to navigate or attracted to things that are more negative energy type things. So it's, you know, I'm just curious if, you know, folks who are in those law enforcement and things like that, they unfortunately, and I don't wish this upon anyway, but they have to spend a lot of time around very negative situations.
True. Yeah, and it's so, a negative job. Yes.
Right. And so I wonder if that's why folks in law enforcement see more of that type of stuff on the regular, because they're just constantly surrounded by that negative energy.
That's a possibility, Josh. I don't know. It could be. It's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows is a pretty okay thing for me. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm I'm okay with not knowing the answer as long as I can continue to ask the question.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I truly believe that somebody somewhere will get down to the answer to what it really is. It may not be my lifetime.
Yeah,
or my children's lifetime.
Somebody. I'm comforted by the documentary about those four scientist guys that like built the packs they wore on their backs, and they like went around and they shot at ghosts. And they put him in a
with Dr. Spangler.
With Dr. Spangler.
Great documentary.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, they had to do something with them, so they put him in like a trap and they put him in a vault, and then the vault got like exploded. I mean, how come we didn't hear about that on mainstream media?
Yeah, had some poltergeist missiles shooting out of there.
Exactly. Then they made another documentary about a river of like
viscous or something. Yeah, it was like viscous pink fluid.
And then like one of them,
marshmallow guy.
One of them fell in and like was all excited. I mean, it was
they
crazy.
Had that Carpathian guy. Yeah, I know exactly what
crazy
you're about.
Crazy.
I mean, I remember seeing anything about that on the news, so I don't know how that we
It was the 80s, dude. There wasn't any Google.
All right, moving on to the house. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
I'm born ready.
So, I lived in a haunted house. It was haunted, and my first experience how much time we got?
As much as you need.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't know, this is a lot.
Go for it, man. Go for it. We're good.
Sorry, I don't want to give you even more stuff to edit out.
No, the only thing I'm going to edit out is all of Josh, so don't worry.
Yeah. I've got the face. I got the face for newspaper, so.
This, guys, this is really what solidified me into really saying, there is something there. There's something around us that we can't see. Is it people who have died and the spirits have come back? I can't say for sure. Is it demons? I can't say for sure. I don't know what it is, but it's definitely something there. And my first experience was being in the house was built in 1888. It was built by a railroad company. And so it has a very long history. And the first experience I had, I was in the basement and I heard some whispering noises, and I was all home alone, completely by myself, and I heard whispering, and it made me shut the light off and go upstairs.
I can't remember if the basement there finished or was it like a dirt basement?
It was finished.
Okay. I couldn't remember if that was. Because Stephen and I were talking about dirt basements and how creepy they are. So
yeah,
they are creepy. Boots on stairs in the middle of the night. People sound. I've been awakened to that. I have grabbed a gun and a flashlight and literally cleared my house like somebody had broken into it, because it sounded like hard cowboy boots on stairs. We have wooden stairs, so you can only imagine. It was like ka-clunk, 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 and I'm a light sleeper anyway, and I was there fully expecting to confront somebody that had broken into my house. The real kicker is the shadow. I've seen two shadow people in the house, and the first one, I have to take my time, as it's hard to explain. I was laying on the couch watching TV. It was nighttime. Everybody else was asleep. And I kind of had the blanket covered up over my head. And the way the TV is positioned, next to the TV is a doorway. And we got very large doorways at the time. And it was, there was a transit over it. But I could see something kind of just forming, basically, and I could make out, it was black, and I could make out a head and shoulders. And I didn't make a move, and I just sit there and stared at it. And it just kind of sat there. And believe it or not, I know this sounds absolutely crazy, but believe it or not, I had this feeling come over me like it can't come in the room. I'm being serious. Like it can't come in. And it sat there, and then it was just absolutely just gone. Just gone.
Interesting. Like question. Go ahead, Josh.
Was it like it moved away?
It was just gone.
Just disappeared.
I mean, I couldn't perceive any movement by it. It's like it didn't look like it vanished. It looked like it just streaked away. Like it was just there and it moved a little sideways and then it was gone. But the scariest thing was the other shadow person. I was coming down the steps once again, late at night. I turned the corner and there was, in the door frame, was this 8-foot black shadow, and I stopped in my tracks, and this thing was like darker than dark.
That vantage of black, yeah.
Yeah, and it was so dark, you couldn't see the room behind it, because that's how you could make out the outline. And
that's,
you know,
that's a classic sign of a shadow person.
And as soon as it's like as soon as this thing saw me, it went boom, and it real quickly, for like about 1 second, it looked like there was, the only way I know how to explain it is if you drop ink in water.
Yeah.
And that's the only black ink in water. It went from a head and shoulders, this 8-foot giant, to this ink and water, then it was nothing. Then I could see the room behind it. I stood there. I had no idea what I just saw. And I don't know what I saw to this day.
So I want to ask, I want to go back to the first one where you're talking about you had this feeling that it couldn't get into the room.
Yeah.
So with the house, was it 100% the original house, or were there any additions?
There was additions.
Now this room, was that one of the additions?
It was, believe it or not, now that you ask, it would have been an exterior door to the house.
Because it makes you wonder if it was confined to its original home, right?
Yeah.
And so it
would have been in an addition. It would have been the addition to the house, but that door used to be an exterior door. Pretty sure.
Yeah. So then it makes you wonder. Yeah. It's like, it's unfamiliar. Like its energy is caught within the area.
Yeah. I can't explain it. It was the weirdest feeling I've ever had. It felt like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. In my head, I told myself it can't come in here.
Yeah. And there's that too. I mean, one of the things that we do as shamans and things like that is to create a safe, sacred place where entities like that can't get into, that they're using old Native American practices like sage and things along those lines, that they're not able to traverse that. But there's also that idea that mentally we can do that too. Christians tend to do that in the name of Jesus, be gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, atheists and humanists, we could simply just say, be gone, I don't want you here. And especially if it's a lower form as opposed to a higher form.
Yeah. But a true story, I was mowing the grass one day, and it was a large yard, and there was a fellow that stopped by. He basically worked for the county at the time. And he said, we're going to be coming through trimming trees. I just wanted to let you know. And he said, can I ask you a question? And he said, this may be a weird question. And it's, you know, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, go ahead, man. And he said, true story. He said, is your house haunted? And I said, why do you ask? He said, when that house was up for sale, he said, me and my wife went in there and looked at it, and we were in one of the rooms, and he said, the room adjoining that, the door slammed shut. Now, I've never had that happen.
I've had that happen.
they didn't buy the house because of it. I've never had that happen. No doors have ever slammed.
That's the kind of shit that I would do. Me and Sarah would look at a house, and I know I'd be like, mm-mm, we got to go.
Yeah.
She's like, but it's beautiful. And I'm like, yeah, the Lutz family said it was beautiful, too.
Christmas Day, the first Christmas here, the cabinets were open. That's the Friday, and I asked my wife. I said, what are you looking for? And she said, I'm not looking. Didn't do anything. That wasn't me. So I dismissed that. So I don't know what that was, but that was a strange.
And so it's not just you in that old house, right? That was other people that were there, wife and things like that. So that's.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of those things where you kind of go, screw you guys for saying it's group hallucination. The fact that I've gathered other witnesses should, in fact, push the narrative better. So.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I've talked about with Stefan and Santosh we've had on a few weeks back was that ghosts and or shadow people might not be ghosts or shadow people. They could be like... people in suits interacting with our world, appearing to us as ghosts or shadow people.
Right. Or you like Men in Black 1, you got a, he's in his Efren suit. Sugar. He lost some sugar.
Well, I don't mean like a person suit, but like.
No, I know. Imagine, I know what you mean.
Imagine more like the movie Star Trek Insurrection,
mm-hmm.
when they're like basically in cloaked suits. Interacting with the town people, it's kind of like that, you know, like they're interacting, they're opening cabinet doors, and you think you got a poltergeist, but it's just them.
Yeah, it's really some dude in a cloaked suit like a predator.
Yeah, I've heard that, you know, I've heard of that theory before, and you know, and that's a possibility, you know, and there's, I think there's a movement, and there's in the UFO community to where a lot of people are starting to lean to where UFOs and alien contact are basically us from many millions or thousands of years into the future, right. And who have come back, archaeologists and biologists to study basically ancient man, you know, and it very well could be something like that. That is not out of the realm of anything that is scientific. It's a possibility. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean the way the technology is going, why couldn't we have one day, you know, not even thousands of years into the future? It could just be 100 years into the future. The
way
technology
is going.
So.
Yeah. It could be 20 years in the past because we don't know what's at Area 51. We don't know what the military's already got going on.
You never know, yeah. I mean, what better way to keep time, the existence of time travel from people in 2020 as to make it look like aliens.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would have that, you know, by the time that we develop time travel, we would have already understood the UFO phenomenon. And, you know, and they, let's not go back into the past and expose ourselves and say, you guys are going to do time travel one day. Or we are.
Right.
It's a paradox. So, you know. And,
well, it's kind of like the, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about Star Trek, but one of the things with Star Trek that happens later on in the episode is they get into the quantum directive. So you got the prime directive, which is you can't interfere with other cultures that haven't developed warp drive. But the quantum directive is you can't interact, you know, they do time travel and you can't interact with other people in other times.
Except for that dude on Enterprise, he does what he wants.
Well, yeah, he beats to a different drum. So,
yeah.
but you know, so it would stand to reason from an ethical perspective that if ethics exist in the future and if they haven't developed time travel, that they would say ethically don't interfere with things. So you want to go back in time and you want to interact with back in time, that's fine. Just make sure you wear one of these suits that pretty much makes you invisible, except in low light. Then
rain. Yeah.
I mean,
just slam cabinet doors and throw ashtrays. That's all you're allowed.
It's a possibility. I don't know. You know, it's a possibility. Oh, I'm open to anything because there's something to it. I've seen too much to say, to be just totally closed-minded.
Yeah, and speaking of which, do you have any more stories from the house there, or?
Oh, that's pretty much it. Cool. I can think of Josh. Can you think of anything?
The only other one that comes to my mind is, and I know you didn't experience this, but you told me about was the when they were painting the stairwell.
Yeah, I can't get into that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So couldn't remember who all was involved in that one.
Yeah, because of who's involved, I can't get into that.
I understand. It's another thing that makes you mysterious, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, it's like that that one listener story we had where they felt that urge to get that wallpaper, and then they went back layer after layer after layer after layer after layer and got to the original wallpaper. It was the one she chose.
Yeah, the house, the stairwell was being painted by a person, and that person ended up seeing an old man standing at the bottom of the steps in coveralls. Wow. So that's pretty much the story, vaguely, without going into extreme detail. Out of respect for that person.
Right. Well, thanks, man. Unless you got anything else, we can start to wrap up.
No, that's about it.
We appreciate you, man. Those were some good stories, man.
Good story, yeah. Just, you know, the one thing to keep in mind is that we are not plugging Head and Shoulders. You use the term Head and Shoulders quite a bit. I just don't want anybody to think that we're sponsored by Head and Shoulders.
However, if Head and Shoulders would like to sponsor us, please do. You make a great product.
Yeah. You can reach us at fearscapepodcast@gmail.com.
But again, thank you, Jay. Stick around for a second because we're going to go into our listener story. But I wanted to say thank you for taking a risk and kind of sharing these stories because, man, they were good. They're good
stories. No problem. I'd just also like to say that if there's anybody else out there that's in uniform services, get out and you have experiences, get out there and tell your story. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. And, you know, it's something that we need to do because there is a lot going on, and don't take this stuff to your grave. Let people know about it and let relevant people know about it who can really look into these things a lot deeper.
Yeah. As I was telling Josh, there's a cop in Jersey, I think, that came out and wrote a book about everything. It's called like Deliver Us from Evil or something like that. But he's now a big famous exorcist and a ghost hunter because he said screw it, all the things he was seeing he couldn't explain it, and now he's like fully in the paranormal field. So but yeah, share your stories with us. We would love to hear them. Share them with us. You can send those to fearscapepodcast@gmail.com. And speaking of our listener story, I've got one tonight. We're going to be starting our series now where we've gotten some actors to come in and do the voiceover work instead of just hearing me or just hearing Josh. We've got some actor friends to kind of do this. So this one comes from a really good friend of mine, Parker Bowles. This isn't his story, but he's going to be the actor for this, portraying this story, which comes from Haunted Kentucky again. But I've actually been talking to this guy. His name is Ronnie Flynn. And we've actually been continuing to talk. He has some really, really interesting stories. He's Native American, and he has a ton of things that have been going on. But this is the story that he wanted to share on here. And so let's take a listen to that.
Okay. All right. Is this thing recording? I've never done this before. Okay. All right. Hi. 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 Hello. Hi. My name is Ronnie Flynn. I've never told anyone this story before, so bear with me. I once knowingly tried to sleep in the room where a man once slept and died. I'd gone into his room and was going to start an EVP session. So I entered the room and sat on his bed. Thinking of what I was going to ask, I kind of started to feel sick. A little nauseous. My mouth was salivating like before you're going to throw up or something. I asked myself if this was him doing that to me. I reached over to start the EVP recording, and in doing so, I blacked out. Strange thing about it is, though, when I came to, I was outside of the room on the floor. But my EVP device, my recording device, was still in his room on his bed. I have no recollection of how I ended up outside. And then people began to tell me that I was changing, that I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm not happy all the time, joking around. You know, I wasn't me. So I had to make a decision on what I should do as far as trying to see if he had anything to do with my change of personality. I don't know. I feel like I shouldn't have gone into his room. I was warned he was a bitter man, and that he cursed God for his illness. I also found out the night I went to his room, it was the night of the anniversary before he passed away the following day. I don't know. Anyway, I'm seeking advice. Should I leave well enough alone? Well, why do I have no recollection, like zero, of how I ended up outside of his room? None whatsoever. And for my friends to tell me, dude, you're not yourself, that bothered me, and still does. I don't know. I hope someone has a suggestion or an answer for me someday. I gotta go. I gotta get back. All right, good luck with everything.
Let me know how it turns out. So, yeah, I've been talking to this guy, and he went back into this room and sent me a session as well where he was dealing with some stuff, and he got sick again, and I was watching him just get physically ill being in this room. And he did some research and come to find out that the guy was a massive, like, bigot racist, especially against Native Americans. And so he thinks that had something to do with it. So very, very interesting. But thank you, Ronnie, for sharing that. I don't know if you guys have any opinions on that or not.
Two things. Number one, turn on your EVP recorder when you go into the room. No, but really, I'm thinking that is, you know, so many times with, like, alien abductions and things, there seems to be time loss.
Right.
And I'm wondering, again, back to our previous train of conversation, if there's any relation between time loss with alien abductions and time loss or blackout with ghost experiences, and are any of those things connected? And I get back to what we've been hearing about from Kiel, which is all of these things are the phenomena. Like, none of it is disconnected. Ghost, aliens, Bigfoot, the whole kit and caboodle, it's all part of the same phenomenon.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all.
You know, I've got advice for him. You know, if he wants to continue and to try to, apparently this, whatever he's doing is agitating it, but
correct.
Man, just, you know, he needs to, in my opinion, you know, like I said, I'm no paranormal investigator, but, you know, take control of it, man. You know, be a warrior, beat this thing, tell this, whatever this thing is, that, look, you're not going to do this to me. And if it gets worse, then go seek help, whatever that help may be. You know, you'll need somebody to come inside the house.
Yeah, you know, I told him the same thing. He asked me for some advice personally, and after looking at some of the videos he sent me and some of the things that he heard, you know, one of the things I asked him, as I said, are, what do you plan on doing when you find out who or what this is? Because he wants to know, why are you messing with me? Who are you? What is this? And I said, well, what are you planning on doing with that? And I told him, I said, if I were you, I would cleanse and sage this place and send entity back to wherever it needed to go. Instead of, like, getting sick by it all the time. I mean, you're Native American. You know how to do this better than anybody.
And it's already attacked. yeah, it's already attacked him first. So as far as I'm concerned, it's time to get rid of whatever that thing is.
Yeah, and that's what he told me. He said, you know, that, you know, he agrees with me 100% and, you know, that maybe he needs to spiritually social distance himself from it.
He needs to bust some ghosts.
Yeah, like that documentary.
I like that documentary.
but thank you, Ronnie Flynn, for sending in your story. Don't forget, you guys can send in your stories to us, you know, to fearscapepodcast@gmail.com. You can also do that while you're looking up our social media stuff, which is all at fearscapepodcast.com. All of that's there. That's at Fearscape Pod, which is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can message us there. If you see us on any of the message boards that we're on, like Haunted Paranormal, the Paranormal Help Desk, or Haunted History of Kentucky, we're on a million of them. UFO sightings, any of that stuff. Hit us up. Let us know. You know, we may reach out to you as well, which we do occasionally. But Jay, thank you, sir, again for,
thank you guys.
For joining us.
Thanks for being on.
And Josh, we got to get out of here, man, before you turn into a robot or a pumpkin or whatever the hell you turn into at night. But yeah, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. We love you guys so much. Make sure, like we said, to go to our website. Tell them about our Patreon, Josh.
Yeah, on the website, fearscapepodcast.com, you can, number one, you can shop the store, get some awesome t-shirts. Number two, if you really want to support the show, there's a couple of different Patreon tiers. Two of those tiers get you a free t-shirt. You pick one out from the store, we'll send it to you. Tell us your size, so, you know, kit and caboodle, we'll send that over to you. Yeah, if you really like the content that we deliver and you like the you know, guests that we have on the show and the topics that we cover, you know, support the show. And you can do that with as little as $5 a month, which is like, what, a cup of coffee from Starbucks a month? So
yeah, I mean, it's so little, but yeah, thank you. You guys can support us too by just sharing and rating and reviewing wherever you're listening to this and just helping us get the word out. But on that, we are going to rock and roll. Thanks again, Jay. I know I've said thank you like 40 million times, but shadow people freak me out, man. It's freaking me out. But Josh, we got to get out of here. And so... Yep. You guys, this has been Stefan, and I will catch y'all on the flip side.
This has been Josh. The truth is out there.
Hold your blankets extra tight because things tend to get spooky with us. So we'll catch you guys later. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I'm so glad you were able to join us for that horrifying discussion. I hope they didn't frighten you too much. Tune in next week for even more research into the nightmarish and haunting creeps and spooks that we tell ourselves don't exist, but we know they do. Make sure you have your blankets, that you hold them extra tight. Next time on Fearscape.